start is the mix. And I don't know whether anybody's gotten a determination yet about what's clean or certifying that, but I hope whoever's got the DEQ budget will look at that aspect of it. But a question about the budget. There was, State Police, I believe, requesting about $1 million and $1.2 million to access a database and the software for a fingerprint system that would be an incredible assistance to the State Police. Is that in this budget? Did that get funded? That did not get funded?
Mr. Chairman, the APHIS request of $1.5 million is in a separate budget, in a separate piece of legislation.
Okay.
That's Governor's Crime Fighting Program.
Let me clarify the question. It falls, unfortunately, into that category of additions that presently are beyond our reach within the budget, within the limit, but on a priority list, if you will, and one that I'm aware of. But there's no funding in this budget. This budget basically restores to normal operation the State Police Department. There's little improvement in it.
Mr. Chairman, the APHIS system is included under Senate Bill 5559.
The special crime package.
Thank you.
Let's go over to Senator Cho, and then we'll come back to your
The question about the position authority and as it relates to perhaps collective bargaining. I know in years past when we thought we would have enhanced the State Police's authority to do things because we've given additional positions after the collective bargaining process is over, we find reduced positions because they've needed to have enough money to pay salary increases. What's that situation now, and are we fairly much assured that these positions that we're putting in place are going to be there?
Senator Troy, that's a question that I don't think we can guarantee. I'm assuming that in the negotiations that the State Police as a department are conducting, that they'll do the best they can to strike a contract with the union, which will allow them to continue these positions. It's like any agency in state government. If the contract is negotiated to a level greater than what any salary adjustments provided, you pay for your salary by cutting back on positions. We hope that doesn't happen. We hope we don't lose the positions, but we don't control that at this moment. Representative Soil, and then we'll come back to Representative Hannah.
I would just like to have a clarification on the source of other funds. If I remember what we've done in the Fish and Wildlife budget for game enforcement, about $11 million transfer. That leaves about $9 million in other funds or thereabouts. What's the source of those other funds?
Mr. Chairman, the other fund sources are listed in Senate Bill 5550 under Section 2. A through L are the sources of funding. The first one is the contract with State Department of Fish and Wildlife, $11.2 million. The other sources are from Highway Division, their snow park permit, board and police standards and training. That's the training money that comes from the BPST to fund for training of state police. Parks and Recreation has $497,000. Should I go through the list?
I think, Senator, you has answered the question, Representative Soa, adequately. I think that it's probably noteworthy for all of us that, and you've mentioned it in the major transfer and the major other fund source, that it is by contract as opposed to an entitlement or just transfer of funds. So, to the extent that there's an agreement between the agencies, there is a contract that spells out the agreement, and service should be provided accordingly.
And you all have the A and Grove Senate Bill 5550. It's all listed.
Let's see. Representative Hanneman had a question.
Thank you. I have several comments, so I guess one's a question. And it's back to the criminal division of the state police and the meth lab problem again. But if I recall hearing correctly, there was an amount of $600,000 or $800,000 for meth lab cleanups proposed in DEQ budget, which isn't before us, but I know that $200,000 is needed now, has been spent in the last 12 months, and is needed for two more cleanups just in the community where I live. That's $200,000 right there. The creek and the waterways were damaged, and all that stuff had to be transported someplace else. The second comment or question I would have of the subcommittee, was there any transfer from traffic to the criminal division where, in my opinion, the effort is needed for meth lab investigations and general problems with crime and drugs? And then three, just a comment again on the salary negotiations. If those did, as they have in previous biennia, and impact the criminal division, the state police are going to be even less effective in dealing with the problem. But I guess it asks the committee about the second point. There, I assume there were no major shifts between traffic control and the criminal division, is that right?
Senator Yee, do you want to respond or try to respond? The question has to do with emphasis that the committee may have placed on shifting of personnel or focus of attention between criminal and traffic. Correct?
Mr. Chairman, if you're talking about Traffic Safety Commission, they have
money
to control speed and DUII.
I'm not aware of anything that the committee did that would have shifted the focus.
Okay.
I believe the committee, and I'm not aware of any instructions. Representative Hanlon?
Well, my recollection, perhaps Mr. Stinson could correct me, is that we didn't address a shift because the net effect was adding personnel both to criminal and to highway.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. The implementation of the regional dispatch center, as Senator Yee described earlier, will free up 32 positions. The agency has already implemented a portion of those centers and diverted the positions that were in dispatch. And when the process is complete, that will be 32 positions. They will go 10 into the crime labs and 22 into the criminal division. So the real net productivity of the regional dispatch will be an enhancement to the crime labs and the criminal division.
Does that help, Person?
Yes, it does. I wasn't aware.
Many of you will have, I know I have been confronted regarding the dispatch centers. As Senator, you pointed out, they're consolidated into four. But in fact, there is a, as you've just heard, a good reason for that in terms of a benefit to the work police.
Mr. Chairman. Yes,
Representative Jones.
I think really important there is that the service will not be reduced. That their new technology and
we're relying on technology and other.
But they're saving money doing it and keeping the services. I think that's really important, and they should be commended for that.
Representative Hanneman, you raised a question which I alluded to one day in a moment of frustration, and that is the methamphetamine lab, the cleanup. If you recall last session when we appropriated $500,000 of general fund monies, the understanding was that there would be a like commitment from the local governments to help fund the program. Unfortunately, local governments have not contributed any monies, and that leaves a bit of a sour taste in my mouth. When you authorize a program and you have a commitment, you kind of expect people to live up to their commitments. But I understand the concern, and I hope you can appreciate the fact that had we had the cooperation that we had anticipated we were going to get, given the shortfall that exists, we would have not had the problem that is facing us.
May I respond briefly?
Certainly may.
In the west side of the district on that portion of the coast, there's 60 miles of generally low-populated coastline. In that 60 miles, there's no local law enforcement between 4 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock. And that's when the stuff was going to San Francisco called crank.
That's what my-
And they travel the highways then. Until a year ago, in cooperation with the Attorney General's office and some from the state police and not very much, a criminal investigator was hired for that 60 miles of coastline and helped bust one of the major rings in Oregon that was there. But the local people had to fund part of that investigator. Now they found enough money to put two of them there. But that budget in that particular county does not have the resources to add either to the sheriff's department or contribute in any sizable amount to the cleanup. And I criticize the county's budget, and they say, why don't you take care of your own budgets in the state of Oregon and let us try to figure out how we're going to make our ends meet here, and don't criticize us, take care of yours. And it is not an easy one for them to, either the cities or the counties, and as I know them in northwestern part of the state, to provide for law enforcement and then contribute to the DEQ program to try to clean up. And then the fourth one that was raided, the creek still remains unclean. DEQ investigated for an hour and 45 minutes and left and were never heard from again. They walked away, and the county people have felt that they didn't have the resources either. At that location when the raid came, and I have to tell you about this, the county personnel are not superior people in their training, although they've been through the academy. In drugs, they're trying to catch up, but one of them opened the back door of a van that they found at the location that had just come in the night before. And the fumes from the contents of the van that were intended to set up that lab at that location caused an injury serious enough to the officer just from the toxic fumes coming out, seared his air passages clear to his lungs. And so that's a long story, but yeah, this is a severe problem, and I'm hoping that the state police budget is adequate, and perhaps with some emergency board help if it's not in this interim. Otherwise, we're not getting the help out of the federal attorney's office in Portland, in my opinion, especially in rural areas where these labs are. And if we can't count on the state police for a greater share of the load, the local city and county people are really left without many resources to fight this thing. And I see it just blooming away from us in a terrible mushroom situation.
I should know any time I ask you a question, I'll get an answer that's long enough that is pretty convincing, and I suspect that that was an argument for some funds for the OCZMA.
What's OCZMA?
Or would you care to stop on that?
You want another long one?
I don't know.
No.
It's called effective.
Yeah, the point is well taken, and the special crime package and other packages that have to be looked at are clearly on the list. Are there further comments or discussion relative to the budget for the State Police Department? If not, is there objection to Senator Yee's motion that Senate Bill 5550 go to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next on the agenda, Representative Jones, the Traffic Safety Commission budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The recommended budget for the Traffic Safety Commission continues the agency's responsibility to organize, plan, and conduct a comprehensive statewide highway safety program. The subcommittee recommends a budget of $6.8 million that provides for the governor's recommended budget and is 52% above the 87-89 expenditures. I'm sure that sounds good to you. The subcommittee recommends a federal fund expenditure limitation of $5.8 million, which is 53% above the 87-89 estimated expenditures. The commission has received approval of an alcohol traffic safety grant that will provide $4.1 million over the next 5 years and is the primary reason for the significant increase. The committee approved three positions to administer the new program with instructions that their permanence be contingent upon the continuation of the program. The subcommittee recommends another fund expenditure limitation of $1.1 million that includes $360,000 and a seasonal employee provided for in House Bill 2121 Motorcycle Rider Education Program. The committee also recommends a decision package for $151,000 that provides for continuation of the ignition interlock pilot program with a limited duration position, continuation of the bicycle safety program, and one position reclassification. Now, this budget has a pretty large general fund increase, but nothing I can do about it.
I don't think it's general, is it ever?
Yeah, it's other funds. That makes
other
me feel better.
Funds and federal, okay. Are there questions of Representative Jones? If not, is there objection to sending Senate Bill 5552 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next on the agenda are other bills that are out of subcommittee that relate to our budgets. The first is Senate Bill 83, Motor Carriers. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This measure facilitates the payment of weight mile taxes by the trucking industry and the tax collection by the Public Utilities Commission. Specifically, the bill permits payment of fees incurred after the 15th of the month by the end of the following month, eliminating the need to estimate miles and reconcile later, allows monthly payment periods to match the motor carrier reporting periods, increases the annual limit for quarterly weight mile payment from $2,400 to $3,600, allowing more carriers to take advantage of the option. Delayed collections provision may produce a one-time lag in collections of $1.7 million and an additional $185,000 lost in interest earnings. Because of revised revenue estimates, these reductions will not impact the recommended budget for the PUC or the Highway Division. Recommend approval, Mr. Chairman.
Are there questions of Representative Jones? If not, is there objection to his motion that we send Senate Bill 83 to the floor of the Senate, correct me, to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next on the agenda is Senate Bill 1113, Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 113 provides for an increase in licensing fees for those people servicing consumer electronic entertainment equipment, that is radio, TV, and et cetera. The proposed fees as structured by the committee will generate an additional $32,200 during the 1989-91 biennium to allow the Bureau to maintain the 2.5 FTE positions now doing licensing and enforcement of this industry. There are approximately 550 service dealers and 975 technicians impacted by the fee change. Representatives of the industry appear before the committee and voice their support for the fee increases even higher than that approved. Your subcommittee reduced the increase in fees to half of the increase and approved the revised fees unanimously. We urge your support.
Thank you. Are there questions? Senator Roberts.
Could I ask, why did the industry want the higher fees?
Well, they support the increase in fees so that this money will support the a full-time investigator in a half-time clerical position.
Another question.
Senator Roberts.
Did they feel that this was necessary for the proper guarantees of the that the objectives of the regulation would be achieved?
They support the increase in fees.
My question is, did they conclude that with the lack of that increase, double what the subcommittee approved, that there would be adequate regulation of the industry?
Well, they support the increase in fees. After we reduced the fees, there was no more public hearings. But from the mail I receive, half of the industry people support the fees and half of them don't. So we took a compromise position and increased half of it. Maybe we please half of the industry people.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the reason I asked the question is that we have in a number of our regulatory agencies where the intention is to help the industry, in effect, by protecting the consumers and thereby having the legitimate providers of the services feel that they that their reputation is not impinged upon by the presence of people who aren't being adequately regulated. In nearly every case, the industries or the professions involved have asked for increase in fees so that the job of the regulatory agency can actually be done. And they feel it's a waste of time and money if the fees that they're being charged are so small that the agency is doing nothing but collecting fees but doesn't have enough in its budget to really enforce the purposes of the act. And yet there is this tendency to say, oh no, we mustn't increase the fees. When the people are paying the fees in general, or their representatives, actually say this is necessary in order to improve the agency. I think about the only one of these regulatory agencies that's been successful, not entirely, but reasonably successful in getting increase in fees so that they can police their industry, is the medical profession. But in most of the other boards, the subcommittees have been reluctant to increase fees that the industry actually asked for. And it seems to me that this may actually be a case in this particular instance in which the people representing the industry before the subcommittee actually supported the higher fees in order to police themselves. But the subcommittee decided, oh, that's not good. We ought to reduce those fees below the point that provided for the adequate investigators, which the members of the industry thought was necessary in order to achieve the purposes of the Act. So I don't have any specifics on this, but it just seems to me it's another instance of the fact that I think that we need, if we're going to have a regulatory board or a licensing board such as these, we need to at least accede to their request for a level of fees which in their opinion is necessary to do the kind of policing which was the purpose of the Act.
Mr. Chairman, we contacted the Bureau of Industries and asked them what will happen if we suggest reduction of the increase by half. And they say they can continue to fully fund the investigator's position, but they might have to reduce half position for the clerical. So the investigator's position is fully funded.
Thank you.
Further comments or questions? Is there objection to Senator Yee's motion that we move Senate Bill 113 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation?
I object.
Objection noted.
I'll object.
I think I will too.
Let's call the roll so that we have the record straight. Proceed with you with the roll call.
Representative Van Vliet?
Aye.
Hanneman?
No.
Jones?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Soa?
Aye.
Robert?
No.
Senator Robert? Hamby?
Aye.
Votes aye. Motion carried. Next on the agenda, Senate Bill 366, Representative Hanlon, I think, will carry that.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Thank you, Senator Thornton. Senate Bill 366 came to our subcommittee from Senate Labor on a 3-1 vote out of that committee. And it provides for an employer to pay an amount equal to 0.03% of taxes on wages during one calendar quarter of each odd-numbered year into the Wage Security Fund established by the 1985 legislature. That 0.03% does not increase overall taxes to an employer, but merely decreases the offset is a decrease in unemployment taxes of the same amount. It is the equivalent of a diversion within in the system. The subcommittee amended the bill to clarify legislative intent and to provide that it would have a 4-year sunset provision. The fund shall be used by the Bureau of Labor and Industries to pay the wages of employees when an employer has ceased doing business and no assets exist to be used for the paying of wages owed. Bureau estimates it will be $1 million paid into the fund over each 24 months, plus interest income of $67,000. And the appropriation bill for the agency includes an other funds expenditure limitation of $153,000 for administration and $901,000 for payment of these claims. This bill is to carry out the purpose of the Wage Security Fund and comes to you from your subcommittee on a 3-0 vote, at least at the time we took the vote.
For clarification's sake, is it not your understanding, Representative Hanlon, the reason that this legislation was requested and sent to the subcommittee and the subcommittee approved it is because the fund presently was near to being depleted, maybe not quite that, but close, and that in order to give the labor commissioner the authority to run the program, there needed to be some additional enhancements in the fund, and that wages collected, if there's a chapter, bankruptcy file, whatever, the agency will proceed as it has been to aggressively pursue the employers that have not been paying the wages, and those wages will replenish the fund. That's my understanding.
That's my understanding, and that's the intent of Senate Bills 365 and 366, the one before you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Bradbury, and then I'll come back.
Just a question. The bills that was originally introduced repealed the sunset, I think, because there was a basic perception that this problem would continue as far as we could project in the future. I gather the subcommittee restored the sunset and made it 93. Can you just give me any clue why you did that?
The number of votes needed to get this before this committee.
Thank you.
Very practical.
full joint ways and means committee meeting May 9th.
Reported to the committee. First one is House Bill 5021, the Bureau of Labor and Industries. Representative Hanlon.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. 5021 is the Boley budget, recommended budget for the next biennium is $13.8 million, or a 10.1% increase over the estimated expenditures for what's being spent now. General fund increase portion is 6.5%. Committee adjusted the governor's budget to restore funds for continuation of the Pendleton Field Office, deleted to fund in part the anticipated salary increases in the next biennium. Committee reviewed the governor's proposal to fully fund farm labor forest camp inspectors package approved by the e-board in July 88, and decided to approve $50,000 to continue the positions for the first 3 months of the biennium to allow time for the full legislature to decide upon the policy issue of which state agency or agencies has the responsibility for health, sanitation inspections, and enforcement, and the funding source for those activities. Budget assumes the passage of two bills, SB 113 and SB 366. 113 provides for an increase in fees for persons servicing consumer electronic entertainment equipment, and 366 provides for a portion of the taxes paid by the employers on wages to be placed in the wage security fund and to be used by the Bureau to pay wage claims of employees when the employer has ceased doing business and no assets exist to pay the wages owed. If you look at your budget report, the second page, the general fund savings telecommunications cost was used to continue four positions on the farm labor camp inspectors issue for a period of July, August, and September until those matters were resolved by the full legislature. That this budget comes to you in the form I've just described, and I'd ask for your approval so that we could send it on first to the House and then to the Senate.
Is there a discussion? Senator Roberts.
Senator Hanlon, I don't understand the reference here to some sort of a conflict between this agency and the safe employment, whatever that division is. The law is pretty clear about it. What now, I don't understand why you raise an issue, why the committee raises an issue about something which is in the statute in which no statutory change has been proposed.
I suppose the let me see if I can respond to the question. There's acknowledgement by the principals involved, according to my experience, that the communication between the Accident Prevention Division and the Director of Insurance and Finance and the Bureau of Labor and Industries, regardless of what the statute says, isn't the greatest it's been ever. And with a communication problem there, speaking for 25% of the subcommittee, that was a real problem that we had to deal with in dealing with the issue of farm labor camps.
The question about these positions and the basis upon which they were recommended by the governor's budget had to do with one statutory requirement placed upon the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and the second was, which is, refers to another section of the law which has to do with health and sanitation, which is merely they have the ability they may report infractions which they see to the insurance, the health committee, whatever it's called. And so those positions which were recommended, which were requested by the department, and that request was reduced in the governor's budget, had to do with two functions of the Bureau of Labor and Industries. And yet the only reference here is made to health and in the camps. So I wondered why this issue was raised in there when it's, as far as I know, it is not specified in any pending legislation.
I'm not sure the issue, Senator Roberts, that you're speaking of. Which issue?
I'm referring, of course, to the issue to add additional staffs in order to enforce the law with reference to labor contracting.
Let me see if I can summarize what the committee did and why it did what it did. Some of the other cuts that were proposed in the governor's office were not acceptable. Some of those were restored. The subcommittee looked at the fact that there was some funding within the Director of Insurance and Finance Office on his duties with regard to farm labor camps, and looked at the current duties of the labor commissioners, and looked at all of the factors surrounding that, decided that we wanted to get through this coming summer with the farm labor camp issue being taken care of both by insurance and finance and the Bureau of Labor and Industries. But looking beyond that, certainly, if not explicit, it was implicit that we, as a part of this whole committee, at least the subcommittee, wanted to see the Bureau of Labor and Industries and the Director of Insurance and Finance come back and appear before this body with their jurisdictional and communication problems all worked out hand in hand, so that the direction could go forward and communications could improve. I mean, that's the basis. The budget is before this committee.
Well, I'll let it go. I've read the statutes. I don't know what your confusion is. Maybe you have read them. I suppose you have.
I am concerned also about this way of disposing of the issue of the farm work camp inspectors or labor camp people that had been in this budget. There are two things I think they do that are very important that are not done in the Department of Insurance and whatever we call that department these days. I've forgotten the new name. Workers' Comp and whatever else it is. The two very important things. One is the seeing to it that wages are paid to the farm laborers. And in my district, right around Independence, Oregon, very close to this capital, a whole group of farm laborers from Mexico were hidden out in some sort of barn and had to stay there for weeks while a company that had money to pay them sequestered fruit so they wouldn't have to and try to take bankruptcy and didn't pay those people. And it was because of the work of this staff in labor's and in labor and industries department that they were able finally to get the money to pay those people from the firm that owed it to them and make it possible for those people to leave the state and the country. That's an example of the kind of thing that happens. It can happen over and over again and will continue to happen. The other thing is that what the labor and industry does is license the contractors. And there are licensed contractors who are held up to a certain standard because the Bureau of Labor and Industries has a staff and can regulate and look at what those contractors do.
And then there are a lot of other contractors out there who are moving back and forth from Mexico and bringing people in illegally and not dealing with them fairly. A lot of fraud, a lot of mistreatment, a lot of shady dealings involved in all of this. And what I'm telling you is going to happen, we don't have the staff, is that we're going to have a continuation of these practices. And that's not what the whole thrust of what the governor wanted to do last summer, what we were trying to do this session with additional bills that are passing on this issue, and to reduce this staff is to jeopardize that whole effort. And this staff is really much needed. It has a peculiar responsibility, not the same responsibility as the other staff, to look after the farm labor camps. Regretfully, I'm going to have to vote against the budget. I don't want to. I think the committee's done a good job with it, with the exception of this issue. But I really think that staff is needed.
Representative Van Vliet?
I'd like to ask the fiscal analyst on this. Art? I take it that reduction is not the total amount in the budget in that particular item. Is that correct? In the farm labor?
It's all but $50,000.
All but $50,000?
$50,000 continues the four positions that were approved by the emergency board for 3 months, July, August, September. So it is all but $50,000. You're asking if it's all of the wage and hour division of the Bureau. It is not, of course.
Okay.
That's one unit within the entire Bureau.
So with the increase in positions in the entire agency, the director of that would have the ability to move people into that area if it was required?
If you read the budget report, it has.
Let's get a clarification on the issue. The issue that Senator Trowe spoke to, what Representative Van Vliet's speaking to, and what the analyst is speaking to is all one and the same. The staff that represents basically is continued for 3 months through the summer. It shows on the budget report as a minus 4.5 FTE. But the fact of the matter is those people are on board now and they will continue to be on board through the summer months. There are at least three pieces of key legislation pending in the legislature. They haven't passed, but I'm assuming bits and pieces of them will. It's obvious to me that when those matters become law, the agency will probably come to us September, I suspect, or whenever an e-board is, and be asking for position authority to fund those particular proposals. In addition to that, it would not surprise me. Certainly nothing prohibits them from asking for continuation of the FTE that's indicated here as a minus four, which in fact what it represents is a reduction from the governor's permanent budget proposal. Now, all of you that are in subcommittees working understand the fact that we're trying to work off of a base budget phenomena. We've made an exception in this particular program in favor of the agency by giving them the money to continue a program improvement that if it were following the other guidelines of other budgets, we would have had to cut out. So we're arguing over an issue that really is sort of a non-issue. The question is really just how do we continue the program improvement that was asked for in the governor's recommended budget. This budget does this, but just through the summer. There will be other opportunities, I'm sure, to address it. So we're trying to follow the guidelines we set in putting together a base budget. We looked the other way and said to the subcommittee, spend some more to get these people to stay through the summer. Seems to me that it's a very fair and logical way to proceed. I understand the frustration, and I think the budget write-up may be a little bit misleading, but we can't do it any differently.
Representative Burton.
I appreciate that clarification. I guess I'd like just a little further amplification on this. Would there be any, or was any consideration given by the subcommittee to, if there's pending legislation that would authorize these positions in some way, or would require these positions on an ongoing basis that may pass out of here?
Additional positions.
How is that noted in this budget? I guess maybe it's the budget note that doesn't give that clear signal to me that, yes, indeed, we do want to continue that opportunity to have good inspection. There's nothing in the budget note that says that to me, and I'm wondering if that's... Is that necessary, or how do we make that linkage?
It doesn't deny it either. It's neutral to the question. It doesn't say they can't ask for the positions.
they could still come back to the board and ask positions even though it's not...
That's how they got them originally.
All right. Thank you. Yes, Chairman.
Okay, moving on down. Senator Hill.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The budget is inadequate to continue enforcement of current statutory responsibilities through the biennium, because the 4.5 positions were asked for and granted by the E-Board last year to meet current statutory responsibilities of the Bureau. Those current statutory responsibilities continue. Then we have these additional pieces of legislation, two of which are on the Governor's desk, that will expand the duties of the Bureau and ask for more of the Bureau, but don't on their own provide additional staffing. That will have to be addressed by the Emergency Board because it's not addressed in this budget. So we're not meeting the current levels of responsibility the Bureau is supposed to meet, and also we're not addressing any additional ones that may stem from those pieces of legislation that passed. Senator or Representative Van Vliet suggested that there could be some switching around because there's a net increase of 2.5 positions. That's not really possible in this budget because the net increase represents two positions to administer the Wage Security Fund, which is our dedicated positions funded by that revenue source, the diversion, and also one position for Job Corps funding. So those
you
are
got another 3.5 years, Senator Hill. There was a total of 6 in the agency altogether in full F-time, FTE, for authorized positions.
I've got 2 for the Wage Security Fund plus
right.
1 for Job Corps funding.
2.5 for the full F-time, full-time equivalent. It depends on how she wants to utilize her personnel is the basic question.
Well, those are slots that are needed to administer those new responsibilities, or those continuing responsibilities on their own. The 4 positions at the top of the list are to continue the Pendleton Field Office that had been slated or proposed for cuts. The subcommittee agreed that field office should remain open. I think there's 2 points that need to be remembered. First of all, the point I've already made, the division or the Bureau can't exercise its current range of responsibilities through the biennium with this number of FTEs and this level of funding. And there'll be additional responsibilities on top of current level of responsibilities. We must meet that level of responsibility. If we don't, we're just mocking the policy direction the Legislative Assembly has set for this Ways and Means Committee and for the Bureau. Second, there's another issue that's related. We have a serious problem in reforestation contractor compliance. We have a lot of reforestation contractors, and this is, of course, different from farm labor contractors, who are illegal. They're underreporting payroll. They're simply not registered as contractors. I've received numerous letters in the dozens from legal contractors who contract reforest or national and private forest, complaining about the unscrupulous, illegal reforestation contractor who is in cut-rate competition with the legal contractor. This budget doesn't provide adequate staffing to enforce reforestation contractor laws. That's something else we have to face up to. And that's a separate issue from the farm labor issue. So the budget is good insofar as it goes, and I think the subcommittee constructed a budget that is good insofar as it goes, but it doesn't go the distance. And we can't ignore that, especially when we have faced such a crisis as we have in the last year. We'll probably have similar problems this coming year and the following year in this biennium, and new responsibilities placed on the agency.
Further discussion?
Would you like to close, Tom? Just about 2 sentences. Bill obviously compromise as it came here, and Senator Thorne has laid it out, the fact that the commissioner should come back to the E-Board should substantive legislation pass. There can be no question about that. Even if the budget is silent on that, that opportunity is hers. I have said my piece. That's a part of the record. I'd ask for your aye vote. It was hard enough getting that 3 months in there.
John, call the vote, please.
Senators Roberts?
No.
Hannon?
Aye.
Truro?
No.
Yee?
Aye.
Bradbury?
No.
Hamby?
No.
Hill?
Aye.
Thorne?
Aye.
Representatives Van Vliet?
Aye.
Hanneman?
Aye.
D.E. Jones?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Soa?
Aye.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Aye, and House Bill 5021 will report to the House with a due pass as amended.
Mr. Chair, I want to indicate I will oppose the bill on the floor.
Okay. Next is Senate Bill 5503, State Fair and Expedition Center. Senator Hamby, please.
Yes. Mr. Co-Chair, the subcommittee recommends an operating budget of $10,730,045, which includes $1.5 million in non-limited debt service payments on a $7.8 million revenue bond issue. This represents a 12% increase above the 87-89 estimated expenditure and continues the agency's responsibility to maintain and operate the Expo Center year-round and conduct an annual state fair. Subcommittee made several budget adjustments resulting in a net reduction of $135,000. Also recommended for approval is a decision package that establishes a position authority for an interim events sales manager. Subcommittee recommends that the agency use $1.350 million in existing bonding authority to finance the need of alterations and repairs to improve the racetrack grandstand pavilion. I underlined the racetrack grandstand pavilion only, so don't be expecting any other kinds of renovations. This continues the intent of the 85 Legislative Assembly that authorized a $10 million to improve conditions at the fairgrounds. We were looking at 1986 dollar figures, so consequently the sub also recommends the use of prison labor whenever possible as a means to minimize the cost and keep it at 86 levels. Other actions included an 87-89 other funds expenditure limitation increase of $186,200. Agency request addresses capital improvements for several unrelated projects, the largest of which is $100,000 to relocate the beef barn that was destroyed by fire. And for closing, I remind the committee that House Bill 5060, the capital construction bill, carries $1.745 million in capital construction. So I urge your support.
Any questions? Any opposition to sending this on to the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next on the agenda is the Senate Bill 5516, Department of Corrections, the capital construction project. Senator Truro, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5516 is the Department of Corrections capital construction bill. Together, this bill, House Bill 3496, and Senate Bill 5515 takes three bills to do this, allocate $61.1 million of lottery funds to the Department of Corrections for construction of an additional 1,726 prison beds. Senate Bill 5516 allocates $34.6 million, the portion of the lottery funds to be spent on prison construction for 1989-91 revenues. Senate Bill 5516 also sets expenditure limitations for each authorized project. The amount, which totals $3.4 million, is for expenditures projected through the month of September. So as you can see, we're authorizing some expenditures right away. Projects for which expenditure limitations are set include Sunderland Minimum Security Facility, the OSP Maximum Security Unit, the Eastern Oregon Correctional Institute Nurses Dorm Conversion, a new medium security prison, and an intake facility. All of these were recommended in the governor's budget. The subcommittee also included two additional projects, an officers' quarters and visitor center at the South Fork Forest Camp, and the finishing of education and visiting space for EOCI West Side renovation project. The total maximum cost of all projects authorized is $85.4 million. Includes amounts previously authorized by the 1987-89 Emergency Board and by Senate Bill 5515, the Fast Track Prison Construction Bill. It also contains $20 million for the medium security facility that was initially planned for expenditure in 1991-93. That additional $20 million is going to be funded primarily from certificates of participation. And if you note in the budget, there's an explanation of that process. Of the $85.4 million, 22 of the $24.5 million will be financed with certificates of participation. Repayments of the COPs, including debt service, will be from future lottery revenues. Issuance of the COPs is subject to Emergency Board approval. Because of concerns regarding past departmental management of construction projects, the Emergency Board retains oversight of these projects as they advance first to schematic designs and then to development of bid specifications. Mr. Chair, this is a very important bill. It gets construction underway, capital construction, and appropriates most of the money for it. I recommend our approval.
Thank you very much, Senator Dutrolle. Representative Hanna?
Senator Dutrolle, what's the total future obligation through the purchase with COPs to the lottery fund?
Depending on, I think, how many years they take to retire the COPs, it would, and depending on how many amount, what the amount is, it'd be say from 22 to 24.5 million, and have to determine what that amount is. But if it were about 22 million, I think it would be about 6 million additional. Is that, and I would ask the co-chair's help on that.
Pretty close. I think we had. I think there was a schedule, if my memory is correct, that debt service on about 22 million or so is in closer to 10 million than six, including interest and principal retirement amortized over a five-year period, I believe.
Okay.
Do we have assuming a 7.15 interest rate and 7.4 interest rate, which are today's figures, it was 5.5 over a five-year period for 20 years.
I'm thinking biannual costs. I'm sorry. So we need to, if we biannualize the cost, it's about 10 per year. It's about 6, as Senator Dutrolle said. Is that correct?
Okay. Well, I thought my 6 was about right.
Yeah. We were talking 2 years versus 1. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Follow up, Hanneman.
What's the necessity of keeping the $1 in items 6 and 7? The technical reason for that?
I think simply to give an expenditure limitation, start the process of having an expenditure limitation. Both the South Fork Forest Camp and the EOCI West Wing remodeling may be funded with monies that could be left in the construction of the other projects. So if they're savings could be used to fund those, and we then would give that authority to use those monies or some of those monies, and then the rest of those two items would be funded with COPs, depending on what we might need.